Praise the Lord. Oh, the beauty of a changed life. Wow. Beautiful. Thank you, brother, for sharing. The choices you made lead you where you are today. I love that. Men of faith become faithful men. That's what we're praying for. And I heard that heart coming out of you for your children and for people around you. Thank you for your sharing your life story. I know sometimes those things can be, you know, how much do you share, how much do you give, but you just have to trust God's Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you and bring what He wants to bring for us here this morning. Wow, praise God. Sometimes it would just be fun to just start out on a Sunday here and just go through the whole week and just hear everybody's life story, all the testimonies. Imagine the rejoicing. So we rejoice with you this morning that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It wasn't at one time, but it is this morning because God wrote it in your heart and He wrote it in heaven. So may God bless you. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. We're going to go to chapter 10, about 4 or 5 verses this morning. The title of my message this morning is Warfare in the Pasture. And I was going to preach two parts, the first part being our thought life and the second part being planting seeds in life, but I don't know. I think I'm going to have to just wind it in a little bit this morning and just focus on the warfare, our thought life. In 2 Corinthians 10, we're going to be spending our time in 3 to 7 in that context of Scripture. And by God's grace, I want to somehow unpack this for us this morning and lay out a challenge that is very real to all of us, very real, and can either be a blessing when we overcome, or it can be a hindrance, or it can be a bondage in our life if we don't overcome and pursue it and make choices in our life. Okay, let's start in 3. For we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. So we start out, we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And again, this is a very real challenge. We walk in the flesh, we're flesh and blood, right? We walk in that, but we do not war after the flesh. Ephesians 6 says it this way, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world. That's what we're continuously wrestling against. And yes, it's spiritual. It is spiritual. But it is also partially physical. It is also partially has to do with our mind of how we treat this warfare or how we approach this battle. And it is very real to all of us this morning. It is a very real part of our lives. As soon as we walk out that door, there are things that we have to say yes to, and there are things that we have to say no to immediately. Sitting here this morning, there are thoughts that we have to say, no, 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 hold it. That's not true. Or, yes, God, I receive that. There's a constant, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So we see a season, I guess me personally, I see a battle increasing, ever increasing, as we go on. It's becoming more intense. And that is the battle of the mind is becoming more intense. Deception, compromise of the Word of God. These are very real struggles in people's lives. We see this happening. People struggling to have faith in God. I mean, why would we not have faith in God? He took each of those sands that Mel mentioned, and it says he numbered them. He numbers them. And later on, in the close of my message, he says, his thoughts toward us are like the sand, each sand of the sea. Why would we struggle to have faith in this God? People not trusting in the Lord, fear of the future, increasing amount of suicides and depression, and so on. Just on and on. So there's a war against darkness, and we are to wrestle against that. And it would seem like there's an indication of Satan sees the time. His time is coming to a close. And I guess I picture it kind of like a funnel sometimes. It's out here. There's struggles. But as the time comes closer, there's just an intense battle that begins to happen. It becomes more intense. And I think we're heading in toward where there's going to be a tight squeeze, even more so in the days to come. But he says, we are to stand against the things that we just mentioned. Deception, compromise of God's word as the darkness gets closer. Just a few more things in the world we see around us. We see world leaders against each other. Tearing each other's character down, which is wrong. We see agendas and attacks against the Christian church. We see social divisions and strife, personal independence, and carnal pleasures. Why? What's happening? What's going on in the minds, in our minds, in the minds of the people? What is taking place? And what do we do with all the present stuff around us every day? We really need delivered from this. We do. We need deliverance from it. If we are in them, if we are in these things, we need out of them. We need delivered. But a thought I want to give you this morning, deliverance from sin is not the same as deliverance from human nature. Such as, there are things in human nature such as disrespect, an undisciplined life, not being considerate or compassionate. Who's in control in that? Who governs that? Who governs these things? Loose with our tongue? Going to places that cause you to sin? Doing things and getting involved with people that cause you to stumble or struggle? Being disobedient? That's for all of us, not just the children this morning. Being disobedient. So these things can destroy. And I tell you this morning, there's only one fact here, is you can overcome these things by sheer neglect. Saying, no, I can't do that. I won't do that anymore. Sometimes we look at God to make decisions for us, and it just is not going to happen. He gives us free choice. He gives each one of us a free choice if we want to follow him or not, and how deeply we want to follow him. Men of faith become faithful men. Men of faith become faithful men. They choose to trust in God with their things that they struggle with. And they say no, because it says those things, if we don't cast down those imaginations and every high thing and bring them into captivity, it wants to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. That's really what's taking place. It exalts itself against the knowledge of God and pushes it back. And that's not God's fault. That's our responsibility. That's my responsibility. So these demand a moral choice, and you're the only one that can make it. I mean, you don't walk into a bar this morning and not expect to possibly buy a drink. You just don't walk into a place like that and not expect to participate in what they're doing, right? At least be tempted. You don't go to ungodly places and expect to stand in victory or maybe even to be delivered. That's not where you're going to find your deliverance. If you're struggling with drinking, this is just one illustration in life. You wouldn't think of walking in there in case you would be tempted. Stephen, you wouldn't think of picking up a magazine again. It's too dangerous. Yes, you've been delivered, but you wouldn't think of doing that again. It's not safe. It's unwise. So he's making a choice to never do that again. And that sets him free. Are you tracking with me? We have thoughts like, well, I feel that the parties, the bar, and things of that sort are my mission field. I'm cautioning you this morning to ponder that. Possibly, but very unlikely. That takes a lot of prayer. That takes a tremendous amount of prayer and people around you. So I would caution that and ponder that and think it through. What about certain websites? What about podcasts? Maybe secular podcasts, maybe not. What about social media? Well, I feel I have an opportunity to witness there. Really? Be careful. One thought I had was make a choice to head toward what's right, not what's wrong. Make a choice to head toward what's right, not what's wrong. And this is a very real fact in our minds this morning. I am personally challenged with this portion of Scripture myself. Our thought life is a huge part of advancing the kingdom of God and exalting Jesus this morning. Because when you don't, it ties you up, it paralyzes you, and you cannot do what God wants you to do. So head toward what's right. Head toward what God wants, not what He doesn't want. And it takes wisdom to do that. It takes a wrestling. But again, you hold the choice. It's a moral choice. And once that choice is made, God gives you the freedom in that choice. Once I saw a freedom in Stephen this morning. In that choice, I saw a freedom. And he made that choice, and he's not tempted with that anymore. Because the commitment is made, and it's brought under the obedience of Christ. It's brought down under. He brought that down under, and under the obedience of Christ Jesus. And so he doesn't struggle with that anymore. So he can freely say, I'm delivered from this. I don't struggle with this. So it's you that holds the choice. Young children, young parents, I heard Stephen's heart this morning to raise a family for God's glory. And I'm specifically about making a choice this morning and allowing our will, our heart, our will to be broken. At some point, that will has to be brought under the obedience of Christ Jesus. And we're going to get into this, but in verse 6, it gives a violent description of taking revenge on disobedience. So it has to be brought under, and then there can be deliverance. Then we can be set free. But I heard a heart this morning, and I see it in some of you young couples. You're burdened for your children. You're burdened for your young families. And if I may, just give a little story. One of our children, when the child was less than a year old, one evening I saw the will come out or come up or show itself. And as I would hold the child would make itself stiff and start screaming. And it was bedtime. I was tired. This is real, right? This happens sometimes. Maybe not Sammy yet, but soon. But as I was holding this child, every once in a while, when I thought it was relaxing, it would just make itself stiff again and scream and cry. And I started applying forms of discipline and some spanking, and it was one of the first times that I spanked the child. And I was like, I'm not sure if this is the right thing to do, but something's not right here. The will is trying to control when we go to bed or not. And this was repeatedly happening at the same time. And my wife and I couldn't go to bed at the same time. And I saw that this was going to be a problem if I continued to let it go. So I continued on and battled the will. It took close to an hour. And remember, this child is less than a year old. And I don't know how many spankings and disciplines. In love, right? Always in love. And after a while, the child just almost went into a place where you weren't sure if you did the right thing. And so I started questioning myself. And I had to take that thought and bring it under the obedience of Christ and say, no, this is what God asks us to do. I have to follow through, because if I don't follow through, the will is going to be stronger the next time. And after almost an hour of just wondering if I did the right thing, following through, continuing on, the child just, all of a sudden in my arms, looked up at me, and just a peaceful look came over the child's face, and within minutes, it was sleeping. It taught me such a great lesson. And never dealt with it again to that extent in that child. But just the look, when it looked up at me, I just thought, is that how God is to me? I wrestle and I wrestle with my will, my mind, my emotions. After a while, God, he's just there. He's more than happy to forgive. He's more than happy to let it go. But he's letting it be my choice. But as soon as I let it go, as soon as I let go of my will, he has it all under control. There's no question. He has it. And so I share that with you just for two reasons this morning. Is when a will is not broken in us, it's very difficult for God to pour his Holy Spirit through us. And also the second reason is just to encourage you young parents, follow through. Follow through. It's worth it. I'm still on a journey. We're still on a journey with you. We may be just a little bit down the road, but we're still on a journey with that. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Godly homes, there again, faithful men and women make a faithful body. So this morning, follow through. Don't bring your children to church to train them. Train them at home. Train them at home. I remember Brother Willie used to talk about this. I forget who it was, but he said that they struggled with this. This couple struggled with this child. Every time they would go to go away, they put him in the car seat or her, and this child would just scream and scream the whole way. Just scream. Not happy till they get her out. And so what she started doing is she would set up a car seat in the kitchen and strap the child in, and she trained it at home. She trained it to be okay with the car seat. And after a while, it was going away was no problem. It's just simple training. Can we do that with our life before God? Can we allow him to train us while we go through the steps of life, while we work, while we are with our family, while we're with each other, maybe in our quiet time? What is God saying? What if he's training me? What if he's drawing me? What if he's wooing me? So our warfare is not against sin, but we can never fight against sin. We can never fight against sin. Without Christ, we have no power to fight against sin. It has to be brought under him. Jesus conquered that for us in redemption through the dying of the cross. We sang about that this morning for you and for me. And through the resurrection, he gave life because I was guilty. What did he do to me? He made me innocent. I was guilty, and he made me innocent. Now it's my responsibility to pursue holiness. He's not going to do that for me. Verse 5 says, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Casting down imaginations. Wow. We have a lot. We have so many imaginations. Think about it. They say 90% of what you worry about never happens. That's just simply an imagination. What if? What if he's not there? What if this doesn't happen? And you get there, everything's fine. 90% of what we worry about never happens. Some of you are smiling. Praise God. So there's some things we are not to fight and push back on. Like in Ephesians, there are simply some things that are out of our control. You know what he tells us to do? He tells us to stand. Stand. I can't deliver myself. I can't give myself salvation. I can't heal myself if I'm not physically well. There's some things I just need to stand with God and trust him. Maybe there's something in my mind I don't understand. I have need of. I can't do that for myself. God has to do it. So there are times where we just have to stand still and see the salvation of God. Exodus 14, 13 to 14 says, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. This is just before they went across the sea, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians, when ye have seen them today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Then verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Stand still. So everything is out of my control, but God says, I'll take care of it. Just trust in me. So if you're struggling this morning, just ask for help. He knows the sands of the seas. He placed them, each one, in each specific beach and the amounts thereof. Just think about it with me. And this is only, think about our coasts and in all the other coasts and what lies in the ocean bed. He specifically placed each one. So if you're struggling this morning, just ask him for his help. So verse 5 goes along, and we're talking about warring every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God or what God wants. So you bring that thought, or you bring that maybe a project. When I say a project, maybe I want to unpack that a little bit, but bringing that into captivity, being obedient to Christ in that, letting him test that in you. So let's just role play something. So let's say I come to you and I say, I had a vision, I need to go serve in another country. What do you think? That sounds good. That sounds good. But let's test it. Let's test it and see what God wants. My question to us this morning is, we're no more ready to serve in the mission field over there than we are here. My first question is, how well are you doing with your daily devotions? How well are you spending time with the Lord every morning? Because you'll need it when you go into the mission field. Are you talking to God? Have you allowed God to break your will? These are very real challenges in our life. Very real things that can either make us effective or not effective when we serve. So test it. Test it. There's nothing wrong with the vision, not at all. But what if God wants to unfold it? What if He wants to unfold it? So you take every thought, every project, every thing that comes, you bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So if you want to be delivered, obey Christ. This is not necessarily an exciting thing. This is not necessarily something we look forward to, but we need to bring everything into captivity. But then be prepared. I've seen this happen. When someone has an exciting thought or vision or an inspiration that they felt God gave to them, and they pull back and they just lay it down for now, and they just pull back and they say, "Lord, it's going to be up to you when you wake this up." At that very moment, I've seen criticism come from people and saying, there's a lack of zeal there. That's not really what's happening. They're testing it. They're allowing God to test it and say, "Lord, you raise it up. I don't want anything to do with this. This is what I had in mind. This is what I thought, but I'm laying it before you. You raise it up." And it can be anything. It can be anything in life that you have an exciting thought on. But until you start obeying God, He won't raise it up in your personal lives. And I'm not talking about work. I'm talking about trusting the Lord. Trusting the Lord to raise it up and then let Him lead. It is a very real challenge to all of us. So true determination and zeal are found in obeying God. So our efforts to serve the Lord potentially arise from an undisciplined nature, which we would call human nature. And that's where we're in control, right? And this seed will not bring the right for us and for others. So verse 4 says that our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then later on it says in verse 6, "And having the readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Being ready to take revenge on all disobedience. Being ready to notice that and doing something about it. Who does that? I do. I'm responsible for my disobedience. I take responsibility. When every thought, imagination, inspiration, or you could say a project, an idea, or a high thing has been brought under captivity, you take a hold of it. And you bring it under the obedience of Christ. Then God can work with you. Because your will is broken before Him and you're trusting Him to lead the way. Like Jesus said, "I'm sure in the flesh, in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will but thine, Lord." I'm sure He was feeling His weakness, but He knew the outcome and He was willing to do it. But at the same time, He found Himself at a weak state, but His will was broken at that very moment. And had been, but He was just reminding God, "Not my will, but thine. You know what you're doing. I'll go through this." But casting down every imagination or high thing that goes against God and His knowledge. Sometimes we have these thoughts. "I can't believe God allowed that. He didn't." I'm talking about the human nature. He didn't. You made a choice in the flesh. So your disobedience is bringing a consequence in your life. Don't blame God for your being in the flesh. Take responsibility, take ownership for that. Be obedient, repent, and bring it to the cross of Jesus. Doesn't that sound freeing? Doesn't that sound like victory? If I come to the cross, I'm not expecting anything from anyone else. I'm not expecting Sim to say, Jesse, you need to go to the cross. We both know that, and I go, because I know I'm responsible. He's not going to go for me. I won't get victory if I do that. Take revenge on your disobedience, and your obedience will be fulfilled. So my question this morning is, what do you want in your pasture? The seeds that you choose are critical. And I was going to go back into chapter 9. I'm not going to this morning. But it talks about sowing and the sowing and reaping effect in 2 Corinthians. But if you could just picture, to give you a little bit of a picture, what I was thinking is, if you picture your pasture as a seed bed ready to be seeded, and each seed is so important. I had this picture this morning, is what if I would lay out little seeds here and then have the product of that seed, the fulfillment of that seed, whether it's a sunflower or a corn stalk or whatever. Each seed is so small. Each decision that we have seems so minute and small, but yet the fruit of it can be so amazing. Think about it. The choices you make in life can be so amazing. Stephen could be in a trench, in a pit that is full of darkness this morning. You chose not to. Where you're walking today is amazing. It's nothing short of amazing. Can you imagine the rest of your life in heaven? It's beautiful. But that took a choice on your part to say, I'm undone. I'm finished with this old life. I'm going to give my life to the Lord Jesus. And He changed it for you. What you couldn't do of yourself, He changed it for you. But it took you to make choices. And now your name is written forever and eternity, Stephen. If I may use you as an illustration this morning. So little choices matter. Little seeds matter. Again, we become innocent through Christ. And then a holy character is formed in us. We can't come to God unless we're holy. We can't come to God unless we sacrifice. And then He makes us holy. But it's formed in us by the choices that we make when we obey Christ. We can turn back, make ourselves of no value to the kingdom of God, or we can determinedly demolish these things, allowing Jesus to bring another son to glory. Allowing Jesus to bring another son to glory. Hebrews 2 talks about that. Making them perfect through sanctification. Here's what can happen. We have the tendency to forget that we not only committed to Jesus Christ for salvation, right? But also committed to be responsible and accountable to Jesus and His view of God, the world, and of sin and the devil. That means each person must recognize his responsibility to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The renewing of the mind, it must happen. I just want to, my message is a little shorter this morning, but I want to go to Romans 2 in closing. I'm sorry, 12. two verses there in 12. It's my responsibility to declare war on carnality, right? He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present, who? Me. I. Us. Your bodies, first a living sacrifice, which makes it holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it happens by presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. God, I need help. I can't do this. You're going to have to help me. I need help. This is who I am. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect, there it is, will of God. Not my will, but it's the will of God. And he can make us good, acceptable, perfect, because it's his will. So does God have thoughts about us? Then we stand in Christ and trust him with things and say, I can't change it or control it. You're going to have to do it for me. But I've made some choices. Whatever I'm responsible for, I feel I've made those choices. Talk to God about these things. We can't do them for each other. Talk to God about these things. Lord, I need wisdom in what I am responsible for and what you can only do for me. Please, Lord, convict me in my heart if there's things that I'm responsible for. Show me. Show me things. Because he says he has thoughts about us. In Psalm 139, he says they're precious. And he says he counts them more in number than the sand. More in number than the sand. So God has thoughts. And when we think his thought, our thought becomes his, or however you want to do it, his thought becomes ours. Only God knows what might take place. So this morning, I just want to encourage us, as we walk, let's be like a child that puts their will before the Lord and says, Lord, I'm going to take care of what I'm responsible for. Outside of that, Lord, help me. I can't do it of myself. I need your help in this. But the sin that I may be encountering in my life is because of the personal choices that I made. God, I'm responsible. I take responsibility for that. I won't do that anymore. And bring that under the obedience of Christ, and he'll make you perfect. God bless you.